There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Welcome to the family with
Alex Brant Bernard Rasmussen,
Hackmaster Ralph W. Basham, MD,
Andy Brant Bernard,
and co-host Catherine Brant.
There you go. How come we can't see Ralphie boy?
I'm in the dark.
He's working on it.
Ralphie
he's,
boy. Oh, he's working on it.
In the dark.
Oh, it's that's the special Hubbard one that requires a dumb password and crap. I'll fix it.
Dumb
I'll
password dumb and crap. Such a prince.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
So eloquent.
He's thinking right now. So what's new, Alex?
What is new? I don't know.
Nothing?
There you go.
Dan got a new job.
Ah. Oh, do you want to talk about that on the air?
He got a new job.
You're not going to say what it is?
He's been looking forever.
Well, he was looking at only remote work for a long time, and he was being picky because he wasn't like, I got to get out of this job.
Right.
He just had been there for 6 years, and there wasn't any, like, there wasn't anywhere to go up in his job. And so he was like, just started looking a while ago, and then he was like, I'll do hybrid work, because I actually miss being in the, office a little bit, and like with people that I work, and he's like, and if I started a new job, it would be weird to be fully remote and like never actually be with the people that I work with, you know?
Right.
So he got a hybrid job and he'll be in office
I guess
Tuesday,
it's a big
Wednesday,
problem.
Thursday.
A lot of companies really want people to come
Can
into
you
the
pull
office.
That mic a little closer to you?
They want people to come into the office, but people don't want to come into the office anymore.
Yeah.
And they're starting to talk about paying premiums for people that will come into the office.
Premiums.
Yep.
So they're going to bribe people to come into
up.
The office?
I don't understand why they can't just say, this job requires you to come in the office, see you later.
All the jobs that he was looking for that were hybrid, it was like, that's the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I have a question for Ralph as a doctor. He might understand this.
Yes.
That like 37 years ago, I was asked to work remotely. Do you think that was a negative thing?
I think that was a negative thing. Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
Don't let him in here. He's too crabby all the time.
That's pretty impressive that you even could do that back then, though. It wasn't a cheap way to do it, that's for sure.
Well, I will tell you what, when Alex was 9 and you were 11 years old, I did the show from the closet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we were on vacation, I was in a closet.
Technically, it was the mudroom.
It was the mudroom.
Come on, you're going to trigger people in the closet. I was in the closet.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah.
We took our little entryway. Actually, it was the laundry room.
Oh, it was a laundry room / mudroom.
We moved the washer and dryer out to the garage so you could have a little space.
There you go.
Yeah.
And in that house, I never did build. Did I build a studio in that? I don't think so.
No.
As we moved to the other house,
I
had a studio.
No, it was just the mudroom, and then the other one, there was a spare bedroom that you used for a studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at first, we were only down there for about a week at a time anyway, so it was not that big a deal. But
that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all true. So, Ralph, what is new in your life, pal?
Not much. Haven't been able to see the new Dune movie. Just haven't had time.
Or motivation.
Or motivation. It's a very odd thing. I remember that I saw the first one and I was not impressed with it. And then I'm thinking, I don't remember the first one. I don't even remember anything about it. I just remember that the main character is sort of a milquetoast puke. Mm-hmm. You know it.
Well.
Oh, well.
Lovely.
So, no, I haven't done that. Nothing else going on. I moved out of my office. I did move out of my office in Wayzata. Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
You did?
I moved out, closed the doors, and that thing, and working and working a little bit over in Golden Valley, and then operating up in Maple Grove. So that was an effort. That loadout was a 4-day loadout. We had two pieces of sculpture, one weighing about 300 pounds, the other weighing 250, that had to be crated and hauled out of there. So Josh and I did that. Not this past Sunday, but a week ago Sunday. So.
Surprised you didn't just leave them there.
Oh no, no. No, these were worthwhile. These were worthwhile marble sculpted pieces, multimedia kind of stuff. So, yeah, got that out
of
there.
How are you feeling about that?
Very good. Exceptionally good. No tears, no... I couldn't even force tears when I was leaving. When I locked the doors for the last time, I couldn't even force tears. So, thank God I'm out
of
there. Yeah, that's a great transition.
You spent a lot of... How many years were you in that location?
Oh, we were there 26.
Wow.
Jeez.
In that location for 26 years. Yeah, so that was a great thing to see, and I'm out of there. Color me gone. Or in France, je te laisse.
Yeah. In French. Look at you. Jude's on the chair behind
Jude
you.
Oh, yeah, he's on the chair behind. He's
there.
On the show.
People want to see Jude. There
Jude's
is.
On the show.
Licking the armrest as usual.
Licking the armrest because he's a weirdo.
He loves to lick leather. I don't know what that is all about.
He's dreaming of bringing down big game.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Honestly, yeah.
Sharing it with his
possible.
Pack.
Mm-hmm. Possibly true. So anything new in the news we should know about?
The news.
Charlie wants news. To know if you have watched The Octopus Murders yet.
I have not, but I am going to. Absolutely. I heard The Octopus Murders is really good.
Oh, we forgot to talk about, what is it, Ricky
Stenicki. What? Yeah,
we watched that show.
What's that?
It's a really stupid comedy, which was actually pretty funny. It was so dumb. But it did make you laugh.
By the way, I'd like to point out now that Jude is in two pictures, not just one.
Oh, yeah.
He reassigned his position.
Oh, attention hog. Photobombing everybody.
Photobombing. Yeah, Ricky Stenicki was really good. I thought it was really good.
The guy that played Ricky Stenicki, what's his name?
Zac Efron.
Judith Stutt.
Ricky is John Cena.
John Cena.
I guess he came out in the Oscars with just a giant envelope over his schwanzy.
That's what I heard.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's classy.
What I heard.
Why?
Well, that's kind of like the theme of the movie.
Right.
It is not a great work of art, but it's it will make you laugh.
There's a lot of those out there.
But they're also looking for stunts to try to have somebody watch the simple thing.
Yeah.
I mean, did anybody watch it this year?
None of us did.
No. No, the numbers were way down.
Were they?
The Oscars. Well, you can look them up, Andy.
Let's see. This says it was up 4% from last year.
Wow.
From what? From 4 to 5?
They are at 19.5 million.
Yeah, see, it used to pull back in the day like 50 million viewers.
I didn't want to watch it because I knew the anti-Semitism would be rife, and it was.
It wasn't really. A lot of anti-Semitism I heard at the Oscars.
How
you guys know about that?
Wow, 19.5 million is, not good by not historical standards.
I mean, it's still a ton of people.
It is, but recently as 2014, they were at 45 million.
Wait a second. That industry is kind of, I wouldn't say controlled, but it influenced heavily by the large number of Jewish people.
Absolutely.
Who really are kind of run a large part of the business.
Yes, they do.
How in the world could that be anti-Semitic? It's one thing to be, it's one thing to say, we shouldn't be having these wars. It's one thing to say we should be peace. We should try to find peace all over the world. But to be anti-Semitic, that is a big deal.
Well, I mean, you can be anti-Israel without hating all Jews, too.
Well, they shouldn't be anti-Israel either, because that's anti-Semitic.
I don't care about it's
synonymous, and for many people.
I don't really care about the conflict either way, but I don't know. Like, I don't like the pro-Palestine protesters, but I also don't see them as, these Jew-killing demons that a lot of people do.
Mm. Yeah, well, they're just protesting in America.
Well, they're just dumb, is all.
I think the problem we have is that celebrities, much like politicians, they go with the wind.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the
big
trend
wind
right now.
Is where they run off to. Yep. As soon as there's another big wind, they run off there, and that's what
they
do.
Biting the hand that feeds because they're too stupid to do anything else.
Exactly.
But I don't understand how you go from a position of we need to treat all people the same. Everybody's got to be the same. People of color have to be the same as white people. It all has to be the same. Oh, except for Jews.
They never had that position. But, they said no, they did, but they never did.
You're absolutely, that was never true.
If they believed in equality, they wouldn't be making $800 million a year and living at the top of ivory towers, clad in jewels.
Right.
Ooh, clad in jewels on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Ivory
what
and
the
jewels.
Hell? I just, like I said, I've known Jews my whole life. I grew up around Jews in North Minneapolis. I have many Jewish friends, and I don't give a rat's ass if you like them or not. I do.
Agreed. I grew up around no Jews, absolutely no Jews, in a huge anti-Semitic family. And then when I met, what's true, in Western Pennsylvania, and I was in a sterile community. There were no black people around there, but nobody. And it was very homogenous. And I got to college, and I met my first Jews, and I go, these people aren't so bad.
No, they got, absolutely.
You know, they got some good ideas. Hey, one of the real good ideas are cash businesses, like the canteen. Mm. I say, wait a second, I think there's a lot of good thought going into some of this sort of stuff. So I didn't see the logic in the anti-Semitism I grew up with.
No, my BFF in seventh grade was Joyce Ellison, who's still—
Joyce! We love Joyce.
My great friend to this mm-hmm. day. And she invited me to her bar mitzvah.
Bat mitzvah.
Bat is female, bar is male.
Bat is female. Sorry, Joyce, I should know. And my mother told me that I couldn't go to the temple.
What?
For the ceremony. But I could go to the party at their house afterwards.
She didn't want you in the temple?
And I said, why? Because my parents never said a word against anybody.
Right.
They really never did. I know that they had their opinions, which I found out later mm-hmm. in life. But as a child, they never said, don't talk to those people. You know, we believe this. It's like, yeah, nobody, if they were a different political party, they never said a word, which was great. And I am very grateful to this day for that. But that was the first time. And I remember talking to Joyce's mother, and I said, well, my mom won't let me go to the temple. And she said, why, honey? And I said, I think it's some weird religious thing. And she went, and she said, oh, and just left it at that. She didn't get mad. She didn't say your mom's, you know, la, 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 la. It's just back in those days, people really wanted to protect their religion and protect themselves from other influences. And I don't think that was the worst thing she could have done in the world, but it was the first time I was like, oh, okay, so we aren't as open to other people as I thought. And I was surprised by it.
Some of the best services I've ever been to have been in the temple.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, truly, I mean, Lindsay will say to this day that one of the best, or not the best, but the most enriching things that she's ever been to has been a funeral that was held at the temple. I mean, I don't get that. It's Old Testament stuff. Same stuff. Same stuff.
I don't really understand something here that I don't care what your skin color is, your faith is, your whatever, blah, 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 inner orientation, all the rest of it. Everybody who has a deep opinion about that kind of stuff thinks we all grew up the same way and had the same problems, that it could not be further from the truth. I was just talking to Alex Panovich, who's 6'5", weighs about 280, and it's all muscle. And he speaks out very, very upfront about mental illness because he does not have it, but he grew up around it.
Silent what was it?
What was that?
The silent what was it?
Oh, God. I can grab it. Andy, I got it right over here. The silent dad. Is that what it was?
Silent dad. That's probably what it is. It is Silent Service.
The Silent Service is out now as mission to further the conversation about mental health. We talked about it because my father was mentally ill. He was institutionalized. And I wish people, it's not just about orientation. It's not just about male or female. It's not just about skin color. We didn't all grow up the same. We are not the same people. Right?
Correct. Absolutely. We did not grow. No one grew up the same.
No. You can't judge people based on their skin color or orientation. How did they grow up? I mean, it does affect your life. Sorry.
Yep.
You know, I was talking to Catherine about that a couple of days ago, that there are people that think that I have this really kind of scary edge to me, which I don't even know that I have. but I needed it growing up where I grew up without a father around or an older brother around or whatever. I don't even know that I have that, but I didn't grow up like you, so that's why I have it, right?
Yep, that's right.
So calm down, everybody. Relax.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
That's right.
What do you think, Alex? What are you doing?
My camera's tilted, and it's because of the light.
I know.
Heavy ring light that I don't even use.
You could take it off, honestly.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Ring light.
Just
what are you doing?
Just makes everything bright. I'm taking
ring light is gone.
Oh, that. Oh, you're still lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah,
you're good.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
You are good. Do you think we're getting better with all that stuff? I mean, I'm talking to Andy and Alex here. Do you think we've gotten a lot better with that stuff? Do we judge people just as much as we always have?
I think millennials are like the first ones that kind of stopped caring so much about other people's business, and Gen Zs really don't care.
No, they don't care at all
about anybody's business at all.
Or at least a lot of them don't.
Yeah, a lot of them
but
don't.
But there's always exceptions to every rule. But
yeah,
definitely Gen X, or I mean, like Gen X was like the first apathetic generation.
Yeah.
And then millennials became like more, they're less apathetic, but they're more like, you know, we have to accept everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But they also kind of went a little too far, and they're like aggressively accepting to the point of shunning others.
Yeah, like the pendulum kind of swung one way. And I feel like Gen Z is more like, you do what you're going to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do. I don't know.
Well, I have a question for you. And I don't mean to be talking out of the line here, and I'm not condemning anyone. But schools do not care about teaching things anymore. A lot of people in Gen Z, from what I understand, are really not very good readers.
No.
They were really not taught how to read.
Bad
is that
math,
true?
Bad Excuse me. Reading.
I work at a school, and we teach the kids plenty.
They're Gen Alpha, though. They're not Gen Z.
I know, but...
And you're also at a private school, not a public school.
That's another... That's a big part of it, yes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it depends. You don't just, like, blanket statement things. There are a lot of public schools. There are a lot of public schools that are wonderful.
There are.
I've heard nothing but fantastic things about the public schools in our area where we live.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, me too, honestly.
Yeah, we just decided to put our kids in a private school because we were like, Fawn wouldn't do well in a giant school.
No.
She would not like that at all. Like, Sage could go anywhere, and he'd be thrilled and delighted and get along with everyone. But Fawn would just be so overwhelmed. Like, so we were like, let's just find a smaller school.
Oh God, I thought Rogers Elementary was a big school until I was, like, in 11th grade.
I mean, it takes my sister-in-law to do car line for pickup, or my brother-in-law is the one that picks them up.
Ugh.
He has to get there like 30 minutes before school even closes, and then it can take up to 40 minutes to like get the kid.
No.
He parks, actually, what he does is he parks in a neighborhood two blocks away, picks them up on foot, and then they walk to their car because it takes less time.
Yeah,
good move, yeah.
They need a cell phone a lot,
like
the airport.
I know, because there's so many. There's like four second grade classes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's
too
a
much.
Lot of people.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's a lot of people, which it's like, yeah, it's great. And they love their school, and the kids are doing great, and they think it's fantastic, and they have a toddler that they're like, we'll for sure send her there. But... it's just a huge school, and her kids are doing fine in a huge school, but I'm like, Fawn would not have. She would have been really overwhelmed, so.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant. on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their six Twin Cities locations, or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
God, you just gave me some great memories of my own grade school days at St. Joe's and St. Anne's. It was wonderful. No question. I'm sitting once at lunch, and I had some kind of sandwich. I got a sandwich for lunch and whatever. And I still do this, and I do not know where I learned it or why I do it, but I picked up my sandwich to eat, and a friend of mine sitting across the table goes, "Do you realize you just took seven consecutive bites out of that sandwich?" Because I went like,
I think you learned that from Scooby-Doo.
Maybe it was Scooby-Doo that taught me that.
Oh, Shaggy but yeah, eats sandwiches.
He was shocked that I would take, and I didn't even know I did it. I just kind of went chip, 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 chip. You know, what the hell? It
all works out. Kids in the end, eat things weirdly.
Oh, God. I eat things very weirdly forever.
I come to school at lunchtime so the teacher can have her lunch. So my kids' school, they don't have a lunchroom, so they eat in their classrooms at their desks. And so I go in the classroom, and I just walk around, and I, like, chat with the kids and just whatever. And, yeah, kids eat stuff real weird.
I disassembled everything I ate for the longest time.
Yeah, I remember
that.
Nutter
Butters, I would take them apart and, like, eat the components, stuff like that.
Well, and it's like there's just certain foods that you just eat a certain way. Like Kit Kats, I still eat Kit Kats so strangely.
Yeah.
I chew the chocolate from around the edges off because it's like chunks of chocolate. And then I take each wafer and eat it, like separate them.
Yeah. That's how I eat Nutter Butters or whatever.
Yeah. But it's so much better than eating, like, and I'll, every once in a while, I'm like, just eat a Kit Kat. Like, just take a bite out of it. It's not as good. You got to disassemble it because then it's like chocolate and then it's wafery. Mm-hmm. And it's better because then you get the two separate.
Not Nutter Butter. What are the rectangle ones? They're peanut butter, chocolate flavor.
The rectangle ones.
And they're rectangular.
Butterfinger?
No.
Rectangle. Is it a cookie?
They're basically peanut butter Kit Kats, but huge.
Peanut butter Kit Kats?
Peanut butter Kit Kats, but huge.
Sure. Yeah, Nutty Buddies or whatever they're called.
Oh, yeah, I think it's Nutty Buddy. Is that right? Nutty Buddy.
Have, like,
yes,
yeah.
Nutty Buddy.
Yeah.
I love those. I said Nutter Butter, which is pretty close.
That's a cookie, right?
That's a cookie, yeah. Yes. Nutty Buddy is what
I love Nutty Buddies.
I used to buy those so much.
I love Nutty Buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody used to have, like, zebra cakes and stuff, and I was like, what is wrong with you?
I ate so many zebra cakes, and they made me sick every time.
Zebra cakes are repulsive.
Yeah.
I'd eat
the zebra cakes, and I'd be like, wow, feel horrible.
The brownies, remember?
I never really liked the brownies.
I liked those because they were, like, super chewy.
Unless you're talking about the cosmic blasters or whatever.
No, and then those that had, like, the Rice Krispie kind of things in it, like cosmic,
something
they were like cosmic something. No, because it was cosmic brownie. Was the brownie, right?
What? Cosmic brownie?
Okay.
Remember that?
No.
We are thinking of Star Crunch.
Star Crunch. And then cosmic brownie was the brownie.
Right. Cosmic brownies.
That company went out of business, didn't it?
Cosmic brownie.
Little Debbie? No, they're still around. They'll never go out of business.
Oh, yeah, kids still bring, like, zebra cakes and stuff into lunch. And I'm like,
well, I think there was a threat. Debbie. I think there was a threat that they were going
I think that was Hostess. Hostess was out of business and was repurchased.
Yeah, they're very similar. They're basically the same thing.
What is it? Twinkie?
Hostess is Twinkie, yeah.
Gross.
Now that's the stuff.
I never liked a Twinkie. But I was out of all of those odd prepackaged desserts, I was like Star Crunch, Cosmic Brownie, and Nutty Buddies. Those are the three.
And these days, if I ate one of them, I would feel bad for 3 days.
And, you know, it's probably one of those things that you would eat. I feel like Star Crunch and Cosmic Brownie, if you ate it now, you'd be like, this isn't very good. I feel like a Nutter Butter would still,
Nutter Butters are,
would still
yeah,
be good.
Definitely.
No, they aren't. No, they aren't. Because we revisited Nutter Butters in our house.
Nutty Buddy.
Is that what you're calling them? Nutty?
No, it's a different thing.
Which one are
Nutter
we
Butters
about?
Are a cookie.
Nutter Butter. We revisited Nutter Butters.
Okay.
Okay.
They weren't as good because
nothing
I
is
think
as good.
Our your tastes
yep.
mature in certain ways. So, no, they were not as good.
Listen, you know what I'm going to do if I can make it to like a Target or something by tomorrow? I'm going to buy this and Andy and I are going to try them tomorrow. And
I like it.
We're going to review them. We want to. You don't need the whole thing, Andy. Just a bite.
Just a bite.
I want to review these childhood desserts. I don't know what I'll do with the boxes when I'm done
yeah,
with them because.
Give them to your kids. Kim, show them to your kids. Come on.
My kids.
Don't be a sissy. Don't.
Might
hold back
eat
from
them?
Your kids.
They might eat them.
Well,
they might not.
Well, that they don't.
We'll
throw
see.
Them. Then you throw.
Dan
them.
Will eat them. Dan eats anything.
Yeah.
Dan will eat anything.
Like Mikey.
Dan's like a human garbage can.
I used to be like that.
God bless him.
Can't anymore.
Yeah, nice.
He is. He's like the least picky eater, and he'll just eat anything. And he has no problems with any food, and it's just like, here, eat this. He's like, okay, it's great.
That's how it should be. Now I got to ask you guys
you
a question.
You ought to talk.
What?
It's true.
What?
That's how it should be? You're one of the pickiest eaters I know.
Yeah.
But okay.
Absolutely.
Andy, you are. That's true.
Yes, I am.
Andy's not picky. He's allergic to everything, and everything reacts to his body terribly. It's different.
Okay, we have like several different generations on the show. There's Ralph and me, and then there's your mom, and then there's Andy, and then there's Alex. I don't want to get too deeply into this, but I'm at the point now, and I brought something up on the show this morning, and this is not about politics. It's about decency. So I'm not really talking politics. I'm talking about being decent. Let's start with you, Ralph. Do you think that anybody who's president of the United States should be allowed to spend our tax money to buy votes in an election year? I don't think you should be allowed to spend any money as president of the United States in an election year because all you're doing is buying votes with our money, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be able to create policies that favor certain groups of people who might vote for you.
No.
Correct.
You know, and, you know, all politicians probably shouldn't be able to do that, but then they would never get any work done because they're always running for office, so...
That is what they're always doing. But I just don't think you should be able to go out and spend trillions of dollars just so you get to be president for the second time.
I think that you should be allowed to do it, but it has to come under the stipulation that you step down to.
Oh, there you go.
So it's like, we'll give away $1 trillion to everyone, but I can never run for office ever again.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what we should be doing. And one other thing, and this is basically probably more for Mom, Andy, and Alex. I've been watching some national news lately, and I cannot believe some of the things that anchors are saying to their guests on their shows.
Yep.
The one that really brought it home and punched, it was like a gut punch for me. George Stephanopoulos, who I used to have to work with when he was on ABC and ABC owned KQRS.
He was also on Friends.
Was he?
Wasn't that George Stephanopoulos, or was that another one?
No, George Stephanopoulos is a news anchor.
He wasn't on Friends.
He's not a news anchor. He's a propagandist.
Yeah, Friend was on George
Friend
Stephanopoulos.
Friend was on George Stephanopoulos.
Whatever. Season 1, Episode 4, the one with George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, he made a guest appearance.
Yeah,
I told you. Yeah, he's a White House direct communication
person.
Propagandist.
I don't know who this person is. I've never seen him in my life, even though I've seen
him. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. He's a terrible news anchor. I used to have to work with him. He's a major pain in the ass. And I'm just bringing that because it was the final gut punch for me. I'm like, I cannot stand to watch national news anymore. He had a young woman on the show. She's a state senator or a United States senator somewhere in the East Coast. I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah.
And she was on George's show live. She's on the set with him live. And he said, how can you support Donald Trump? He's a rapist. which he was never accused of being a rapist. Did anybody?
Well, he was accused, but he was never. It was never proven.
Well, not a rape though. Being untoward.
No, but I think she accused him of rape, but they couldn't find any evidence of a rape, and then they switched it. In a criminal case, he wasn't convicted, so they decided to do a civil case, and then they said that he was it was sexual misconduct or something like that.
But that could be grabbing someone by the crotch, not rape.
Could be anything. Yes, it's not good.
Or it could be anything. If you touch a woman or man's arm, that can be construed as a sexual assault or sexual advance.
It's a very vague term.
Now, here's the big problem I had with it. He keeps pushing and pushing and pushing the fact that Donald Trump is a rapist, which there's never been any. And look, I'm not protecting Donald Trump here. I'm protecting the woman on the show. Because then, when she wouldn't go with that, he said, well, I just don't understand how you could possibly vote for him since you were raped as a young woman. He brings up on a national TV show that she had been raped.
Oh, boy.
When are they going to stop with this?
Never.
These news anchors are the worst people on earth. They push and push and push, and if their point's not being taken, they will rat you out and push you under the bus. I was so disgusted by what he did there, I couldn't. But this young woman, and you could tell by the look in her eye, she either wanted to start crying or punch him right in the face. I mean, why are news anchors even allowed to say things like that? If she wanted to talk about it, she'd bring it up, don't you think?
There you go. That's exactly right. And that's, you've learned, Tom, you're a great interviewer, and you've learned that. You know that people don't want to talk about certain things. But if you get them in a relaxed state of mind and they realize that you are not going to be confrontational with regard to something they're sensitive about, they'll spill their guts in a second.
They will, absolutely. You're absolutely right. There is no excuse for doing what he did to reveal. Look, did people know about it? I don't know if they. I didn't know that she had been raped. I had no idea.
It's private.
She'd been raped. Yeah, do you think we've gotten to the point now where the national news has got to be held, not in contempt necessarily, but held responsible for the things they say?
It's too late. Never happened.
Nope. It's never going to happen, is it?
Well, nope. Everybody wants to be a shock jock.
That too.
Yeah, that's true. That's very good.
But only the press has the Supreme Court's backing on being a shock jock.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Andy. So what do you think of my idea that you cannot spend the taxpayers' money in an election year? What do you think?
They never should be able to.
I don't think they should be able to anyway. It's true.
Yeah, but the point of that, correct, I agree with you, but they're always running for office.
That's the thing. Yeah, they're running for office 24 hours a day of their entire lives. And when are they not running for office?
You know, and it's every 2 years for the House, and they're the ones that control the budget.
Well, and even if they're not, like, they'll hop from office to office, too, if they can. So, okay, I'm a congressman, and I want to spend a bunch of money and buy votes, but I'm not allowed to because I can't buy votes for my seat in Congress. So I spend all this money, and then I step down, and then I go run for some other office, and I'm beloved because I gave away all this money, and I'm a shoo-in.
Yeah.
And I just do it again and again.
Mm-hmm. Well, look what Biden did. Gave more free tuition away to people. I mean, how is it your job to give free tuition to anybody?
Executive orders are one of the dumbest things about this country.
I agree.
It should all 100%. Be a referendum, every single thing.
Yes. Yep. Good call. When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
I think we should have a referendum on whether or not to let Tim Lammers on this show.
I don't think we should. Let's grab
a referendum on changing the subject from politics because it's already driving me crazy.
Well, it's not even politics. It's treating another human being with such disrespect.
I hear you. Well, and Ralph, thank you for bringing that up about interviewers that know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, read the room. Jesus. Anyway, I have to bring up right away Tom, because I know you had Tommy, you had a personal encounter with this guy, Eric Carmen.
You heard it. Oh, yes. Yeah. He died yesterday, did he not?
In his sleep. They're not saying of what, but when you die in your sleep, I don't know. He's 74, though. And, you know, you were talking about how he said, well, I'm just as pretty as my wife or whatever.
I will tell the story because the way he delivered it, his wife is stunningly beautiful to this day, by the way. Really pretty woman. He was a very handsome man, there's no question. We're sitting at dinner at Charlie's Cafe Exceptional back in the day, which is no longer even there. It's a 28-story tower now. But Eric Carmen, who was with Raspberries first, had a ton of hits with them, and then he went solo and had a ton of hits himself, 2-3 huge numbers.
Hungry Eyes is the one I know.
Hungry Eyes.
All by myself.
All by myself.
Oh, yeah, that too.
So we're sitting at dinner at Charlie's Cafe. It's Eric, his wife. There was somebody else with us, too, but I can't remember because of what he said. I will never forget this, Timmy. I'm glad you brought it up. We're sitting there having a great time, wonderful, and she looked kind of nervous to be sitting there. So I thought I'd throw her a little compliment maybe and make her feel better about being in a group and all the rest of it. And I looked at Eric Carmen and I said, Eric, I don't want to be too forward here or the rest of it, but I have to tell you, your wife is stunningly beautiful. And she smiled, and Eric Carmen looked at me and said, and I quote, yeah, she looks just like me. And he wasn't kidding, by the way.
Weird thing to say.
He was not joking around.
Number of levels.
Well, yeah, you know.
Like, why do you want that?
Yeah.
It is an ego-driven business, let's be honest.
Yes, it is
really actors, musicians, and all that sort of stuff. But yeah. I will say, I mean, the guy was an incredible songwriter.
He was, yes. Yep.
And I think we talked about this previously. His voice, to me, he was like the American Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I could see that.
His voice kind of had that tone, that intonation, whatever it was. And I absolutely loved his stuff with the Raspberries and his solo stuff. So it really is a shame. So, you know, I would imagine it's tough, though, because you have those hits in the 70s, and you have the solo hits, and I think really Hungry Eyes, that is a Dirty Dancing thing, right? And then he had another one. I forget what it was. But All By Myself. But there were stuff, there were things into the 80s.
Yes.
And then kind of things go poof, and you're sitting there with all that immense talent, and nobody, I mean, your time has passed. And I would imagine that's enormously difficult to handle, because I think I will even go so far as to what I know from him. He was a virtuoso. I mean, this guy really classically trained. I mean, he even used Rachmaninoff and All By Myself. I mean, this guy knew his stuff. And, you know, to have all that talent, it just must drive you crazy to know that you're no longer on top. So there is on YouTube, and I shared one video on my Facebook page of the Raspberries reunited in 2007.
Okay.
And they sounded great. I mean, they really did. And so they had their heyday once again for a brief time, and then it was kind of gone again. Mm-hmm. So, I always wonder. I mean, I always wonder, first of all, what do one-hit wonders do for the rest of their lives? They have that number one hit, and then it's gone. And what do you do to move on? And then you have somebody with immense talent like Eric Carmen, who just has a time and then has a time again and again, and that's it. So it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad.
To borrow a phrase from the Swans.
Oh, yeah.
Truman Capote says, the worst thing in the world has happened to me. I've gone out of style.
And the finale is this week.
I cannot wait
for the finale. So, what a great series that's been.
Phenomenal.
So, I mean, you know, despite his, she looks just like me, you know,
she
things
looks
like
just
that.
Like me.
You just kind of got to put them aside. I've heard worse. And I got a couple
Andy,
dogs visiting me here.
Andy, could you do us a favor and bring up a picture of Eric Carmen's wife? It doesn't matter what era. She looks the same in every picture I've seen of her.
Her name's Amy Murphy? Or that's his most recent wife.
Well, yeah.
Really?
I think he was married more than once.
He's married three times, yes.
I didn't know that.
Marcy Hill, Susan Carmen, and Amy Murphy.
I don't know. Can you put all three of them up, and I'll tell you which one it was. I met?
Put them in a lineup.
Yeah. Put them in a lineup. Let's go.
Oh, well, here's a...
She has long blonde hair.
Yeah, here's a picture of him next to a woman who looks actually very much like him.
So, well, that must be her then. She was a very nice woman, very, very pretty woman, very nice. And she's kind of nervous about it, you know. So she does have long blonde hair, Andy?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's her. She's a very nice woman, but she just was very uncomfortable being around maybe a record guy.
There you go.
Yeah. They do look alike. Oh, my God.
They look a lot alike.
Oh, my God. I am totally freaked out.
They do actually look quite a bit alike.
Kissing cousin. Like kissing myself in the mirror.
Yeah.
He's not all by himself.
No, he's not.
Well, I mean, I guess in a way he is.
They look like twins. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
so, that wasn't even a good picture of her, by the way. She was very, very pretty. I mean, she looked nice. Yeah, she was pretty, but she's stunning.
That was Susan Carmen. They got divorced. They were married for 15 years and had two kids.
When were they married?
They were married in
78.
Eric Carmen, wife.
I'm guessing.
Susan, they're 93 to 2009.
Nope, that wasn't the woman then. That wasn't the right.
So we found another one that looks like him?
Oh, my God.
They do look a lot
alike. He had a type.
This would have been, right. Andy, the late 70s. Who was he married to in the late 70s?
Marcy Hill.
I think that is Marcy. I think it is Marcy. You're right. Okay. So his second wife looked just like him, too.
Oh, my God.
Now, if you have a picture of Marcy, and you can put that up.
Oh, Marcy.
That's hilarious. The guy married himself three different times.
There's not a lot of pictures of her out there because she apparently never really was very public.
No, she was not a very public person. But there, you can find a picture of her, I know. We had one on the morning show this morning. She was pretty stunning. There's no question about that. But, I mean, if you can't find it, you can't find it. She looks a lot like the woman you showed anyway. Yeah. She's even a bit prettier than it. But that picture was kind of squashed a little bit.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would
I can't find any good pictures. I don't think a picture has been taken of her in the past 40 years.
Yeah, she did not like to be in public. I know that.
Mm.
No question.
Well, when her husband made comments like that, it had to have been a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, he was right. You look at that picture. It's like, apparently he was right. He married women who looked just like him.
Yeah.
Well, he was
I want to marry somebody, and when I look in the mirror, I'm seeing my wife, like me. I mean, yeah. What a weird kind of thing that is.
That is very strange.
I can't see your wife growing a beard, though. I just can't see it.
No. So... it might be a question that I already know the answer to. No, you didn't watch the Oscars.
No.
Nope.
But I will say there was a bit with John Cena. And
I heard about it.
I happened to watch Ricky Stenicki the night before.
Oh, God.
This guy is, he is a comedic talent.
He really is.
Yep. Oh, my God, is he funny. And he was so great. And imagine, I mean, basically, he was wearing a thong or some kind of deal, that flesh-colored thing. So he wasn't completely naked, but you could have fooled me. I mean, just looking on TV, and he had this giant envelope covering the front part. And that's a ballsy thing, because imagine I guess he's used to big crowds because of the wrestling. But, you know, what if a joke like that falls flat? I mean, you're really putting yourself on the line there.
Talk about the wrestling. What?
He was a wrestler.
Well, I'm saying he's used to being in front of big crowds, so he knows how to work.
Oh, he was
crowd.
A professional wrestler?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, and that's what makes it even more spectacular. I mean, this guy has made such of a brilliant transition. I won't even say transition because I think he is still wrestling.
Is he? Is he really? He's got to be like 50, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, though, I mean, around the time The Suicide Squad came out, and if you haven't seen that movie, we actually watched that one again a couple days ago. He's really funny in that as well. When that came out, he actually came and surprised the crowd that was screening the movie in Minneapolis. He came from, what do they call those big events, the wrestling events? What do they call them?
WrestleCon.
Conventions?
SummerSlam or something. Isn't there SummerSlam?
Oh, SummerSlam. Yep, there's SummerSlam.
Something like that. He came from one of those wrestling events afterwards to surprise a crowd screening The Suicide Squad. So that was a couple years back. So I don't know if he still is. I mean, imagine, you know, the studios. He's a hot commodity, and they don't want him hurting himself doing the wrestling stuff. So I don't know if he still is or not. But he's really, really good as an actor. I can tell you, I think he's terrific.
No, I agree. He's very, very funny. He can be very intimidating. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah.
We actually watched that movie, and I'm just like, after the 15th, you know, penis joke, I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm tapping out. But it was so, it was funny. It was actually funny.
Macy and the hand motions.
Yeah, when they said, he's double-donging now.
You know, though? It's Farrelly Brothers humor. Now, Peter Farrelly directed this one, or is it Farrelly? One of the two.
Yeah, one of them.
It's that sort of humor. And, you know, some people like it, some people don't. But I love that stuff. You know, the Dumb and Dumber, that kind of, mm-hmm. you know, Something About Mary, that kind of humor. And it's really, really funny. And, again, I just think it really showed his extraordinary talents as a comedic actor. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, he's funny.
John Cena has been part-time since 2018, and he's considering retiring soon. But, I mean, he's in his late 40s, so, I mean.
What's his wrestling name?
John Cena.
Oh, he's not like he doesn't have a persona? Oh.
Yeah, no, he's not like the something, I don't think.
I mean, he rose to prominence just like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, yes. For a brief period, he was the prototype.
Oh, really?
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. He also went by name. Juan Cena.
Oh, God. Okay.
Well, in the worst bit of acting, he was supposed to be Vin Diesel's brother in the Fast and Furious 9.
Yeah, they look a lot alike. Oh. Yeah,
was that his movie break? What was his break?
I think it came before that.
Was it before that?
Yeah, long before that. I think that really... Well, The Rock was doing the Fast and Furious stuff too, and essentially, you know, him and Diesel had that, or what is it, Martin Sinclair? What's Diesel's real name? Rick Sinclair.
Rick Sinclair, I think. Yeah,
that really helped his career, and then they had a fallout. But as it turns out, it was kind of like an all-star wrestling setup to get hyped the movie because he appeared at the end credits of the last picture. But yeah, essentially he took over for The Rock in that series, in the 9th film, and then he's in the 10th film. And spoiler, I don't think he'll be back for number 11. I won't tell you what happens. But he's been around for a while doing films.
Mm-hmm. Does he become and so he fast and furious that he breaks the speed of light and goes back in time?
No. I tell you what, though, I mean, if you see Peacemaker, I would suggest seeing The Suicide Squad first to get to know who Peacemaker is. And Tom, I know you don't like superhero movies. This is like an anti-hero movie, a super villain movie, and David Desmalchin is in it as well. And that was a big film for him as the polka dot man. And Margot Robbie is in it, and Idris Elba. It's a great movie. And then they did a spin-off series called Peacemaker, which showed, again, how talented John Cena is as a comedic actor.
Oh, God, by the way, his break, of course, was as Fred's dad in Fred the Movie, which I'm sure none of you have heard of. Alex might not have even. Do you know Fred?
Fred
the YouTube
movie.
Guy.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
He, like, sped his voice up like the chipmunks. Hey, it's Fred. Yeah. It was a big thing.
I know
on
who
early,
you're talking about, but I've never
thing
seen
on
it.
Early YouTube. I'm sure your kids probably watched it, Tim.
I've never YouTube.
Yeah, no, it's
I don't know anything about anything
biggest
on YouTube.
Piece of crap series ever made, but they made a movie about it, and John Cena played his dad.
Well, you know what? Hollywood's they're cherry picking YouTube talent now to throw in movies because
that
they figure
true.
It's a built-in audience and social media stuff, influencers.
Yeah,
not the way to go, but they're doing it anyway. So yeah.
So what did Tim think about Poor Things?
I thought it was one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen.
Yep.
So you've seen it? Did you see
yes.
it?
Yep. Puke, puke, puke.
Terrible.
Honest to God. I mean, now look, going into the Oscars, I figure, okay, it is a beautiful movie from production standpoint. You know,
yeah.
Production design wasn't shocked in the least. Costumes, I mean, yeah. That sort of stuff worked for me. But this whole weird narrative. Yeah, I love the whole Frankenstein's monster thing. I mean, look at the behind me, all the, you know, Universal monster stuff. I love that sort of stuff. But this was a very, very strange take on the Frankenstein's tale. And, you know, it's one of these critic movies where I'm smarter than you and
yep.
this is how I art. It's like, no, I'm just a dumbass movie reviewer and I don't get it. What is this stuff? I mean, and the way the Academy embraced it, I thought, oh, my God. After seeing Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon, I thought, oh, she's got it. She won the SAG Award, but they gave it to Emma Stone.
I know.
Yeah.
So,
I'm glad you didn't like it because we watched it for an hour, and Tom fell asleep three times.
Three times I fell asleep. It's so boring.
Well, so, so.
And finally, I was like, I don't think this thing's ever going to change pace. Did it ever stop? Just having Emma Stone being a hypersexual human being, or
not
did it never stopped.
Really,
that?
I mean, she kind of takes ownership of it more. In a nutshell, what the movie is about is that a child, an infant's brain, is transferred into her head. She's dead. Okay, so she begins the movie like an infant, and her brain development.
But
is
it was
rapid.
It was
and
her own became, infants.
Yep.
Her
yeah.
Own
it, which brain. Again was
which
very,
is also very weird.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very strange. And then, so her development is rapid, and then she gets into this period of sexual awakening where it's like
constant,
right? And that's pretty much it throughout the in entirety of the movie. Although she becomes, she takes more ownership of it and uses it. In a way, when she gets older,
it's
more
funny
developed.
Because it sounds to me like the moral of the story is it's okay because she looks and acts mature for her age.
Oh, God. I mean, again, it is just, and the guy that did the movie, his name is Yorgos Lanthimos, and he does the most bizarre movies. He did a movie a while ago called The Lobster. I don't know if you saw that. But
I remember that movie, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is out there. And he did another one called The Favorite, which was another
horrendous,
hyper-sexualized movie.
I talked about that yesterday. It was
yeah, you did.
So
oh, I remember The Lobster, yeah.
Yeah, so this guy, he loves to push the boundaries, and it seems to me that Emma Stone is his go-to person. And they got another picture in the works. I will say this. I mean, I didn't think she was going to win because you get that first and second Oscar, you're going to wait decades before number three. And does she really belong in the same sort of category as a Jodie Foster who won in that short period of time? It's been 30 years since she's won again. I don't think she is. I mean, yeah, La La Land, she's great and whatever. And I'm not saying she's a bad actress. I think she's good. But I just think this was way overhyped. Way overhyped.
Yep.
No, just so you know what kind of movie it is, I don't know if the guy's dead or asleep or whatever. But in the first 20 minutes of the movie, something like that, she's walking along, and there's a naked man lying on a bed. So I don't know if he's dead or not. I assume he probably is because she reaches over and pulls his penis up and then snaps it back down like five times.
Yeah, he looks like he's a corpse, and because like, Willem Dafoe is the mad scientist who is experimenting with, what do you call it, reanimating.
Right.
Reanimating these people. And, yeah, I mean, and there are other things when she first comes into her awakening.
Yeah.
That's just like, holy God.
Well, when she stabs the corpse in the eyes and laughs and everybody,
God.
I was like,
look
I'm
at Alex's
sorry?
Face. Alex, like, what?
She's an infant that grows up in a laboratory, if we want to go with the old gothic, you know. And so what does an infant do in those deals? Oh, there's a corpse. Let's stab the eyes. It's like, Jesus Christ. I mean, it is really bizarre, and again, maybe I'm in the vast minority when it comes to critics, but I'm going to tell you the way it is. And that movie is just one weird-ass movie.
It God really bless Tim Lammers.
I agree. Hey, some people love it. They love it.
You finally said it. It sucked.
Yeah. Well, and then at the same time, you got movies like American Fiction, which did win the Best Adapted
Screenplay. Great
movie.
Great
movie. Court Jefferson, and Court Jefferson directed it as well. So that's big for that movie. I think that's because it all really does start with, like, the movie, The Written Word, and it's so important.
Right.
And so, yeah, I was thrilled about that. I was thrilled because it is a brilliant movie.
It is.
I know Catherine has described Game of Thrones as too rapey for her.
Okay. I wouldn't doubt it.
I was out.
And it sounds like this Emma Stone movie is too semen-y for me.
Yes.
It's just endless. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, here, yeah, we get it. It was just like, you're going to get it many, many times.
It's like like the smoking that's in the Maestro. I mean, it seems like they drive this stuff home maybe more than, maybe that's what people want. It doesn't make sense to me.
What I don't get about Poor Things is that now Emma Stone is clearly in a phase of her career where she can have the no nudity clause, but it's like the polar opposite. I mean, she exposes herself and it's like, why are you doing? You don't have to be doing this sort of stuff. This is going to be out there forever. And I would imagine at some point really embarrassing. I mean, it is just
The memes. I can't even imagine the memes.
Oh, my God. I mean, that didn't make sense to me. Now, on the flip side of that, you admire somebody that just doesn't give a shit. It's like, you know what? I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So I'm really conflicted about it. But at the same time, you look kind of like with Jennifer Lawrence doing the full frontal scene in No Hard Feelings. But again, part of me admires the fact that I don't care. She did it. So did you ever see No Hard Feelings with her?
It was
just really brief too. It was really brief too. Yeah. It wasn't the entire movie like this.
Right.
Thing.
Yeah.
So not being a prude here or anything, but it's just like, God, why do people call this high art? I don't get it.
So it's like we've talked about this yesterday. It seems like every once in a while there's some movie that comes out and some actress is doing, you know, all of what she did in this movie, and it's supposedly, you know, a boon for feminism and how empowering it is and how great it is. And I was like, it would be different, but the fisheye lens were like the movie watcher is voyeur. Yeah. It didn't seem empowering to me. It seemed exploitive. Well, at some point it goes over the line and turns into exploitive.
It's very clearly the director's fetish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And then how does she, you know, obviously she's taken by this guy, this director. She works with him. She's working with him again, like I said. The one that should have won the other night, honestly, Annette Bening.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's great.
You know, defeating really is good. That to be around as long as you have to really put in one incredible performance as Diana Nyad?
Yeah, she was.
And kind of go into it. Just, you know, that's the thing about these award ceremonies. There's rarely any surprises. So a lot of, you know, everybody behind Robert Downey Jr. is like, well, let's just throw back the drinks. We're not going to win anyway. But it must be a defeating feeling knowing, oh yeah, I'm one of the five, but even though I've been doing this for 3 or 4 decades, I don't have a chance in hell of winning.
Right.
I think with the John Cena thing, with the Emma Stone thing, I think this is all, the Oscars have turned into soft porn. Yep. They've moved to Van Nuys. It's kind of, it really is. I mean, This is soft porn.
I wouldn't. I mean, the Cena thing was funny.
But he's nude. The insinuation is nude. I mean, that's
it was all rooted in the whole streak. And now, to me, again, this is a good writer because it was all rooted in something that happened 40 years ago when David Niven was giving out an award and a streaker.
I remember that. Yes,
I do. And that's how they set up the bit. And again, that's good writing. And I really do credit them for that. But I get what you're saying as far as, the direction. They got to put out that salacious stuff to appeal to people, I guess. I get that, Ralph, for sure.
Gross.
I suppose. All right. Any way to wrap up the show? I can't. Man, that hour went by very quickly.
It did. Next week, during Tim and Ralph's time, we've got a guest that you're both familiar with, I believe, Diana Pierce.
Oh my God! Nice. Well, of course.
Yeah, she's
that'll
come
be
in
fun.
Next Tuesday. She'll be in studio next week.
Oh, she's okay. Coming in studio. She's mm-hmm. very nice.
She's a very.
Is
nice
she
person.
Talking? What's she going to talk about? Her photography or what?
A little bit about her photography, and what else did she say? Promote Upper Midwest Emmy Student Production Awards.
Oh, good, good, good.
Which happened on April 5th.
Well, I work
I'm
with
hoping she'll give us some big, deep dirt on Jeff Passolt.
I worked with Diana a number of years doing movie reviews on Carol Levin.
You
did. So,
right.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm really good friends with
I'm
Diana.
Glad she was available.
I haven't seen her in a long time, probably since the pandemic started, to be honest. We've talked or texted, but that'll be really fun. That'll be really cool.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear it this morning, Louie Nanny was on the morning show. And he and Judd Zoll get together. It was a great interview.
Oh, Louie's always a great interview.
Louie does great interviews. Yeah, there's no question about that. So you want to give that a listen. It was very, very good. But Diana Pierce has always been a very, very nice person.
She's terrific. She really is.
I remember one time she was on with Paul Majors many, many years ago. And she was kind of flustered over something. Apparently she didn't know what time it was. And it was time to go on the air. And she wasn't paying attention. And she hops on and says, "Hello, I'm Diana Piss." She yes. mispronounced her own yeah. name.
I'm sure she'll be happy that you brought that
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
Oh, I won't do it when she's on, but I thought it was hilarious.
She brought that up to me one time, I know. But, look, it is what it is. You know?
It is what it is.
Television, you know, anything can happen. So,
well, Tim Pawlenty said hockey. You know what?
Yeah, he didn't say puck. Let's drop the.
That was
Let's
hilarious.
Drop that. It was not drop the puck.
And he's not like else. A big sweary guy either.
No.
That's yeah. what made it even funnier.
Well, I talked one to him. I've talked to him about that once, and he was like, the entire time in my head, I was like, don't say the wrong word. 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 And then he's like, and of course, I opened my mouth, and.
There was the wrong word.
It is.
One more thing, Kirk Cousins. Bye.
Goodbye.
Oh, really?
Works for me. I think he's very mediocre.
Oh, he's leaving
well,
on a jet plane? Don't know.
I liked him, but I didn't $40 million a year like him.
No. I understand
it's
he's a very nice guy.
It's out of control, man. It is so out of control.
It really $100 million for doing nothing, basically. He's never achieved anything.
And the Falcons are paying him more.
Yeah, I know.
And I like the justification. Well, they can only work for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years. I'm like, that's still a – who makes $40 million a year? Who makes $40 million in their lifetime? Not that many people.
Not many people.
Yeah.
It's true.
Just for entertainment.
Yep.
That is exactly it. All right. That is going to do it, folks. Timmy, I love these Tuesday shows. They work out very well.
Fantastic.
You and Ralphie coming in. It's wonderful.
It's good to be here.
We'll try to get you on camera next time.
Oh yeah, well, get my. But I guess my face is better for radio.
Oh, here we go.
It's weird.
I will talk with you on Friday morning, Tommy.
Looking forward to it. Okay. Thanks. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.